Now, I want to take a bit of a deeper dive into some of the news we've been talking about this morning because, of course, US President Donald Trump has been forced to take a break from his working holiday, travel back to the White House in Washington, and he's facing down a surprising amount of pressure from all sides to condemn the role of white supremacists in clashes with counter-protesters that have left one person dead. Now, the protests in Charlottesville, Virginia, culminated in a car being driven into a crowd of anti-far-right protesters. Heather Heyer has been named as the woman killed, and a number of other people were injured. Now, the protests were ostensibly over the removal, of all things, of a Robert E. Lee statue from a Charlottesville park, turned very, very ugly as the weekend went on. Now, Trump has condemned, and I'll quote here, hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. And that has drawn sharp criticism on both sides of the aisle, with prominent Democrats, Republicans, and the media all rushing to question Trump's motives. Now, Marco Rubio, rather, who of course ran against Trump in last year's Republican primaries, continues to be one of his most vocal critics in the GOP, was very quick to demand that Trump, and I'll quote again here, describe events in Charlottesville for what they really are, a terror attack by white supremacists. Was backed up by Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado. He wrote on Twitter, "Mr. President, we must call this evil by its name. These were white supremacists, and this was domestic terrorism." Even Trump's own pick for National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster has called it terrorism, said, of course, it was terrorism. Now, Democrats are unified in their response. Not surprisingly, Bernie Sanders was on Twitter yesterday to call the situation in Charlottesville a provocative effort by neo-Nazis to foment racism and hatred and create violence before demanding that Trump call it out for what it is, and said Senator from Hawaii, Brian Schatz, "Is it not too much to ask to have a president who explicitly condemns Nazis?" Wow. On the other side, and there's always the other side when you come to far-right groups, isn't there? There've been a bit of a mixed response to Trump's relative silence. Most notable, perhaps, had been David Duke. Now, you would have heard Jeff Field mentioning him before. Former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, the KKK. He was in Charlottesville over the weekend to claim that the clashes between protesters represented a turning point in Mr. Trump's presidency. Now, later, after Trump cast blame on all sides, Mr. Duke's tone changed a little, and he tweeted at the president, and this is an amazing quote here, "I would recommend you take a good look in the mirror and remember it was white Americans who put you in the presidency, not radical leftists." Now, there's a sense that Trump is refusing to condemn far-right groups because they represent votes for him, which the president would be loath to lose as soon as he turns one eye towards his 2020 campaign, which he did basically after taking office anyway. This appears to be what Mr. Duke is referring to. Indeed, there are shades of early 2016 here when Trump refused to disavow the endorsement of the KKK, only to back down a few days later under heavy pressure from inside his own party. Now, the White House has since released an unattributed statement echoing Trump's original response while claiming that in condemning all parties, the president was implicitly condemning far-right groups. Look, it's only mid-afternoon over on the east coast of the United States. Journalists are keeping their ear to the ground and an eye on Twitter, where Trump has tweeted out his condolences to Ms. Heyer and to two police officers who died in an unrelated helicopter crash during the protests. But he has still refused to cave to calls for a specific condemnation of the far-right.